The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The following episode may contain explicit language. Listener discretion is advised.
Today's show is sponsored by Blue Durango Iced Tea and the Atlanta Coffee Supply Group, Atlanta's premier full-service distributor of hand-roasted coffee and premium iced tea, brewing equipment and supplies for the hospitality and food service industry. You've been hearing me talk about Lake House Coffee for weeks now in these sponsored reads, and while I'm drinking it during the show, they also make Blue Durango Iced Tea. Did you listen to the July 17th episode I did with Jonathan Silverman? We drank that iced tea. It was awesome. As I said before, you might already be enjoying these products. Do you go to places like Wahoo, South City Kitchen, Gusto, and Dantana's? Dude, Gusto, I just interviewed that guy. That's going to be great. If you're a proprietor in the restaurant or food service industry, reach out to them right now. Tell them I sent you. Say, hey, I want to start carrying Lake House Coffee and Blue Durango Iced Tea because they're great products and it's a local freaking brand. Tell them the Atlanta Podcast sent you. Hey, and if you're just a regular person, you can order this stuff. My friend Steven ordered a bunch of coffee from the website. Go to lakehousecoffee.com and check it out and learn more about them. That's lakehousecoffee.com. Welcome back to the Atlanta Podcast. I'm your host, Matt B. Davis. Yeah, man, let's get some fucking continuity. Last Friday, this Friday, let's keep this going. I'd like to say Fridays, but sometimes it'll be Mondays. Couple things, you guys, that are super important to me if you're a fan of this show, and I know you are if you're listening. If you're new, welcome. We talk to the famous, Atlanta famous, infamous, and anybody else I find interesting. If you heard about this from a friend, thanks. If you just found it from Google, just tell me how you found the show. I'd love to hear from you. But here's the two important things, more important than I'd love to hear from you. Live September 20th, we're doing an event at Joystick. That's right, the first live event ever for the Atlanta Podcast. Second, we are up for Best of Atlanta Podcast. And if I don't win, I will probably be depressed. So vote for me. I'm including both of those links. I don't even need to say the word show notes. Just open the damn thing. If you're on iTunes right now, open it. Boom. On your little phone. There it is. Two links. Click them. One is live. One is best of. Vote for best of. On today's program, Brandon and Johnny from Joystick. What do you know? Brandon and Johnny from Joystick. You've been there. You've played games. You've gotten drunk. Who knows what you've done over there? I don't know. But let's learn about these guys. I'm making it short and sweet. It's Friday. Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying. All right, here we go. Brandon and Johnny, away we go.
You said you grew up in Jonesboro.
Jonesboro, yeah.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Cow Country, New York, and Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Okay. Did you go to high school down here?
Yeah, I went to high school up in the suburbs.
Okay. What year did you graduate high school?
2001.
Oh, my God. You guys are so young.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. No, I'm the youngest person you've ever met.
What year did you graduate high school?
I graduated in 1988.
Okay, so you and I are going to be on the same wavelength.
Right.
Bearded hipster millennial guy I'm going to have nothing in common with.
I'm not going to get your references, just to warn you.
All right, by the way, this, like, sadly, like, you got to talk pretty close to it, so you can't just do it
okay.
In the middle. You
gotta, so like this.
No, not necessarily. You just make sure you point the damn thing, because I would hate for this to go to waste.
All right.
Because we're already off to a great start.
Hi. No, get that out of my face.
This is better.
Well, listen, I'm gonna start with you, only because I'm in a massive, empty out the attic memorabilia and memories phase of my life right now.
Right. That means you're in your 40s?
I'm 46.
Okay.
So I graduated in 90.
Right.
And I wouldn't call myself a hoarder, but I just saved certain stuff. Every concert ticket, every movie stub, right? Which is really cool to look at, okay? I also saved stuff that I thought might be worth something, and it turns out is worth shit.
Right.
Because we grew up in an age when people started collecting things, baseball cards, comic books, etc., fucking worthless.
Right, right. But we also grew up in an age where you had to hold on to those things because the Soviet Union was going to invade.
Right. Oh, dude.
And so, you know,
I should have brought it, dude. I should have brought it.
Red Dawn.
I found this thing that the Atlanta Journal put out, which was like nuclear war, the nuclear situation, whatever the fuck it was called, and fucking scary stuff.
Armageddon.
But it was like an actual, I should have brought it.
We were the last Cold War generation.
But I also wasn't sure where sort of, just because it's joystick game bar, I wasn't sure where on sort of the nerd plateau you guys fell.
I'd say that we're both nerdy and in real different ways. I mean, they follow the same direction. They're in the same current, but they're just different sorts of nerdiness.
All right, so which nerd are you?
I'm less of the gaming nerd. I'm more Star Trek versus Star Wars. If we do that division, I am anyone who is weird and different and has some sort of freak flag to fly are my people.
Okay.
Definitely. When it comes to say on the Dragon Con spectrum, I'm more late night Dragon Con.
Okay.
I like the good party atmosphere of the freaks and the geeks.
Right.
And that's because I grew up just different than everyone else in my tiny little town, and I felt weird. So when I started moving to places that had bigger populations, the suburbs, and then into the city, I just tried to find those other weird freaks.
Were you beat up?
No. I mean, I had a soccer ball thrown in my face once, but
you are tall.
Yeah. I never really got beat up. My dad was worried about that, though, so he sent me to Taekwondo, where I achieved a green belt until I was finally able to quit, because, God, I hated that shit.
So can we back up for a second? Where are you, Star Trek versus Star Wars?
You mean how we're on the spectrum? I mean, overall, I didn't see... All right, so I didn't see Star Wars until I was around maybe 17.
Okay.
It just never really interested me. So by the time I saw it, I was like, that's what all the hype was about? Whatever. But I grew up watching Star Trek Next Gen and a little bit of the original series. So that's...
So you're more on the Star...
Star Trek side, yeah.
I find that so fascinating because, like, I can see someone being into Star Trek, but it's kind of like... It's not like the Beatles versus the Stones to me. It's like the Beatles versus, I don't know, some... It's not quite the Monkees, but... Do you know what I'm saying?
The Monkees were great.
You leave Mickey Dolenz out of it.
Do you remember when the Monkees had a comeback?
I do. Of course, the
that
first
was
time
then.
I
this is
them,
now.
That was then. This is now. Yes, and they actually there are a couple of covers on that are actually pretty decent. But
yeah,
I think my saddest Dragon Con experience was seeing Michael Dolenz at a table waiting for people to pay him for signatures, and there being long lines at everybody else's right. table, and no one.
Well,
is.
See, there's so many places we can go with this. I'm glad you guys have the time to kill because. Okay, let's start with, so there's so many massive topics we can cover here.
If I could just break in, for the record, Star Wars. I would say I'm 90-95% Star Wars.
Well, and Star Trek. Okay, well, and to me, like, again, I guess it's my age, but, like, there is only Star Wars. It's like that argument in whatchamacallit's movie when, like, you know, there's only one trilogy, right? Like, right. There is only one trilogy.
Right.
Like, there is only one. And then... There's these middle ones that sucked, and now there's these other ones that we're kind of starting to enjoy. But again, these three, like, that's it. To me, that's it.
I don't fully agree with that. I believe in the big tent theory when it comes to sci-fi, specifically in Star Wars. I think that there are elements within Star Wars. For instance, Star Wars Rebels was a cartoon that Disney put out, and I think it was some of the best writing they'd had in years. If you were not a fan of Star Wars and watched that, I think you would enjoy it. on its own, standalone.
Well, here's the thing. I am of the age that that I have kids, right? And so, like, their lens is different than my lens. And when something like lands right for both of us, I'm like, well, this is great, right? Because it's nice to enjoy. They are often bored, though. Like, it's hard for them to, like, the genius lo-fi of the original Star Wars, right? They can't really, like, I don't think they appreciate that as much as, say, I do.
Yeah, I think that's just a fact. When Star Wars came out, I mean, it blew everyone's mind because it was just so, it was different than what the movies were at that point. But by the time I started seeing them, that's what movies were.
Right.
So the movie that blew my mind as a kid that made me want to make movies, I was briefly a film major, was Jurassic Park. Like, that was the technological marvel.
No, dude, we left the theaters in 91 going, I think dinosaurs are real. I mean, I think that's what,
yeah.
Right? Now, I am curious to see the new one, mostly because they got Goldblum back, right? So
yeah.
Don't spoil anything. I haven't seen that yet.
It is entertaining, I will say that.
Well, I've had kids, so my kids are 11, 9, and 4, and we're not the kind that are, like, first in line to see everything, and I don't buy my kids a lot of crap. Like, we're just not those kind of consumers. But, like, on Christmas, like, we're Jews, so we go to the movies on Christmas Day, right? We will see whatever's, and we've been fortunate enough that there's been a Star Wars every year. Now,
yeah, but unfortunately, before that, it was a Hobbit every year, and that was terrible.
No. I feel like those people sucked the life out of me. 3 hours, I'll never get back. And then I kept kind of going. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to give it this chance. Guess what? They're wandering.
Anytime a movie includes the word behold, it's going to be okay. I'm going to defend Lord of the Ring fans here and Hobbit fans and anyone along those lines. But so there's room for that. It's not for everyone, but there's definitely room for a big sprawling.
Is he always this, like, politically correct? And, oh, everybody get into the big
tent.
Yeah,
he's running for Senate in 2020.
I was
going to
say, are you running for mayor of Atlanta? Are you going to be Keisha Lance Bottoms?
No. I'm definitely a top.
And you? Top or bottom, which?
It depends on how much money you got.
Wow. Honesty. I love it.
Yeah. If you want me to talk crap about things, I'm more than happy to do so. But not about
because you can be
things.
Queenie if you choose to be. Is that what you're trying to say?
I don't choose to be Queenie. It just bubbles up sometimes.
Yeah, that's not a lifestyle choice. That's just it's just an innate thing that happens.
Right. Okay. Like I said, there's so many things we can cover here. So I just want to say, so first of all, Dragon Con is coming. How do you connect to that scene? How well are you connected? Do they fucking come here in throngs?
We like to think as a bar, we're like the bar version of Dragon Con, which is already kind of like a bar,
right?
Right. We're very plugged into them. You know, I've been going to Dragon Con since high school, right?
Awesome.
So it's been 30 years,
right?
As a bar, we host and run the arcade that is at Dragon Con.
Oh, nice.
Our arcade this year. We'll be in the parade this year. We are hosting one of the opening balls, which is the 8-bit ball. And we are also doing, it's a cocktail class track, right, for the alternative.
Okay, so you do stuff at the thing. I meant as far as a destination for the evening.
Yeah, I think we get people who come in, for sure. It's not the kind of bump that you might think, being so close to
Well,
everything.
Because most of the action, everybody wants to stay in those three hotels.
It has its own center of gravity, and it's
exactly.
Hard to escape that.
So I, even though I grew up here, went to my first con last year.
Oh, welcome. We love newbies.
Look at you. And it was actually to do this. I was trying to interview just like random people and like random celebs. Now, I don't know if you know this, but Dan Carroll, you know Dan Carroll?
Oh, yeah, Dan Carroll, yeah.
Dan is very protective of the con.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of rules you have to go by. I'm not a big rule follower. So I kind of just did my thing and was hoping, like, you can't get, like, there's like a special room you can get, but I can't get the special room, like, 30 minutes with name a B to C-ish star, not the A's. Like, you'll never get, you know, I was going to say Picard or Kirk, but you can get whoever, right? But you've got to be either, like, shitload of downloads or, like, just very, like, you are Star Trek specific and I'm not specific enough. But I did go last year on Sunday and sort of, like, the people that were left, like, hey, you want to talk to me for 5 minutes? And a few of them did, okay? So I got I got the guy who made Leader's Suit Larry. Remember that game?
Yeah.
Okay. I got that guy. And I got what's his name, who it turns out people like said he was a big like anti-gay or something. Sorbo. Like
Kevin
like,
Sorbo?
Yes.
Sorbo's anti-gay?
He's anti-something, because when I posted a picture, people were like, oh my God, he's...
anti-moisturizer, I
guess. He's famously a Nazi or something. Did you guys hear about this? No?
Kevin Sorbo's a Nazi?
Google this.
Yes, I will.
And then some other random... And then some other random people who've been on, like, you know, sci-fi shows or whatever. So, okay, sorry. There's, like, so... I'm already very ADD, and with you guys, there's, like, so much to talk about. And we may or may not dig deep into the weeds about Atlanta, by the way. That's kind of how the show goes. So, we are in a time where sort of nerd culture is it, though. Yes, we are very much in this time where people like to identify as nerds. You and I... When we grew up, the word nerd meant very like, it was very like Revenge of the Nerds. Those were nerds. Don't be that. People hate you. You will get beat up.
Yeah.
Now it's very cool. You know, Chris Hardwick has done this whole thing where we can all be nerds, right?
Nerd culture is all culture at this point.
Right. They've kind of taken over, right? So you are in the zeitgeist of, we're in the middle of that, whatever it is. So I understand that game bars are a thing, right? So this is kind of where we're getting to. How do you kind of see that going? Because again, like there are a lot of right joysticks out there.
Yeah, arcade bars is not something we invented, nor do we claim to. We've both been up when we decided to open up a arcade bar. We had both visited Barcade, gone to Ground Control over in Portland. These are kind of the granddaddies of what we're doing. But for us, being a game bar, yes, we have a lot of gaming. We've got Dungeons & Dragons nights that are amazing. We've got Magic the Gathering. We've got, obviously, the arcade games.
That's real nerd shit to me. I've never played either. Well, I had one Dungeons & Dragons experience. We can talk about that later. But, like, I don't own a deck. Like, these are not... That's, like, real. That's real. Yeah. That's not... You can pretend you're a nerd. That's real nerd
and
shit.
That's the... I think what our, I guess, plan for longevity is not just... basing everything on having the most working arcade games. We don't.
You only have like 10.
Yeah, and they barely work. For the record, everybody, we have 21 games that you could put one quarter in. That is an aspect of gaming, and that's an aspect of who we are. And it seems to be a universal aspect. Everyone who walks in here, no matter if you're black or white or gay or straight or young or old, you're always enthralled by at least one of the games we have. So that's awesome, and it's a good entree into it. But what we want to do, and what I think we've been doing, is being a home to nerds, people who... do real nerdy shit, like have a bunch of collectible playing cards and play against each other with Pikachu and, I don't know, fireballs. There's being a home bar for people who are social, but also a little bit weird, is kind of where Johnny and I think we want to fit in. That's the places that we as people fit in, and that's the place we wanted to open.
Yeah, we're the island of misfit toys, right, as a bar. And I think mostly we just respect other people's nerdiness, whatever they're nerdy about. Some people nerd out about cocktails. Some people nerd out about maybe a particular game that's online. You know, I wouldn't call myself a gamer, but, you know, I grew up with all these games. I love those games. And I play a lot of games at home, too, on my console. So... I think it's nice having a space where people can come together under a rather big umbrella and sort of celebrate who they are.
And what year did you open this bar?
It'll be 2012, 6 years next month.
So again, I haven't gone out in a minute, but I have driven. I was a Lyft and Uber driver in 12 and 13. You could make some good money back then. So I spent a lot of time on this street. Do people have a pattern of like, start here, end up at church, or is there anything kind of like that? Like, do you know, like, kind of, is there anything on a Saturday night? Because obviously, you're going to go way outside the nerd range on a weekend evening.
I think it depends, one, on the day of the week you're talking about. And on the weekend, what Brandon said is absolutely right. There's no matter what demographic group you're talking about, there's a nerdy subgroup in there. You know, and so we end up getting this huge, we have the diversity of our crowd is pretty amazing, and I think it's something we're very proud of. So On the weekends, we just get people who are just down here. And then during the week, we get people who want to be here.
Yeah, one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life was it was a Saturday night, about 1 a.m, and I came into Joystick, and there was a table full of like 4 or so people playing Chutes and Ladders in a bar on a Saturday night at 1 a.m, drunk off their ass, playing Chutes and Ladders. And that was the coolest thing I'd seen in a really long time.
How do you keep game pieces from getting lost?
Oh, we don't. We have to replace those games constantly.
So you just go to Amazon or go to the store and...
Yeah. We accept every now and then we have some amazing customers who will just randomly drop off
just donate
board games, right? And we don't even know where they come from. They just kind of magically appear on the shelves, and those are our favorite people. Please come give us your old board games, everybody.
Okay.
You may even get a free shot if you do that. Yeah. Free shot for a board game.
So I was gonna ask, how often do you rotate the big stand-up games?
You know, it depends. I think we're in a position now where we'll see more of a rotation. It slowed down a little bit when we opened up our second place across the street, Georgia Beer Garden, 420 Edgewood Avenue, open at 11 a.m. every day. We're getting back into that habit of it. I think after DragonCon, you'll see it change a lot more, because we're just now starting to get more of a inventory that we can keep. We have a storage space where games that we can't fit in here live until we bring them in.
Right.
So,
well, I want to tell you that I had a very pleasant experience. I came here the other night. The reason we're talking is because I came here the other night for Nerdlanta Live,
yes,
where I was a special guest and we had a lot of fun. But prior to the thing starting, I was playing NBA Jam, which I have such fond memories of as a young man. And I played with my friend Clayton, and we laughed so hard, mostly because we were so bad. But I have the sense memory of this beautiful game and those great, like, random ass late 80s, early 90s players, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just fucking awesome.
Yeah, Brandon and I are no longer behind the bar, but when we first opened, we were. And one of my strongest memories after we first opened was this young lady coming in. She saw a particular game, and she was touching it, and then she got teary-eyed when she was talking about it, because she used to play that game with her parents on spring break, and both her parents had passed, and it just took her back. And the idea that this game had that kind of emotional hold on this one particular person, and she was still fairly young, I couldn't help but, you know, be touched by that. And, you know, like, in many ways, I feel like we're a true arcade like you would have back in the 80s, right? They weren't always up and running and working. We're not a private collector's
right,
a museum in their basement.
Right.
And so is there something that we do as a bar? Is I think we make people happy. People come in. They come in with their kids. Little kids leaving happy means their parents leave happy. People are there with their friends. They're playing games. They leave happy. I like the fact that we make people happy, and we're not, you know, we're not an asshole bar.
Although there is definitely a humbling aspect to the amount of people who come in and realize, oh, I'm not as good at this game as I remember being.
Right. I actually, I played, so I took my kids. Do you know this place, Fun Spot?
Fun Spot? Where is that at?
Is that a sexual reference?
You probably shouldn't take your kids, or maybe you should. Actually, it's probably very
fun
healthy
spot
for them to learn
is
that.
Like, Fun Spot is like ghetto Six Flags. It's like 30 minutes south of here.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. Staff.
Oh,
trip.
No. It
Yeah, and that's a perfect. Our holiday party will probably now for the staff be at Fun Spot.
It totally should be, because it really is like, okay, this is kind of a park that time forgot, but it's like a good time. And we went into the arcade at one point, and I wanted to avoid that because I know that's a lot of money, right? Food and games and whatever. I tried to keep them just on the outside because this is my two sons. But we went into the arcade, and there were some cool games, but they were like a dollar. And I still rage against anything that's more than 25 cents. When a game was 50, it was like, come on. Like, do you remember when, what was like the first 50 cent game? The first, like,
Mortal Kombat's were 50 cents when they were all
Mortal
50
Kombat!
Cents.
Yeah. That's what I was up to say.
Our Mortal Kombat is 25 cents. I'm with you.
But I want you to help me remember the name of the stupid game. Dragon's Lair. Remember Dragon's Lair?
Oh, yeah, Dragon's Lair. Right.
The first kind of like...
cartoon. You pick the path that you want to go, and
right,
based on that path.
When that was like 50 cents, and I was like, all right, I'm against that.
Right. I think we agree. We've gone out of our way to make sure all our games are a quarter. We want to be a kind of spot where you can go out and for 10 bucks... get a couple of drinks, play some games, and you're good, right? It shouldn't, you know, we're not bucking.
How much change you got to keep back there?
A lot. A lot. The one thing we did not plan out well in our pro forma when we opened was just how many quarters we would end up going through. These games are still outperforming what our expectations were.
Why don't you just have a machine?
We do have a machine. We have a two-change machine.
Oh, because I feel like when I was here the other night, I asked the bartender. He just didn't point out the machine to me, maybe?
Tell us which one it was. Tell us which bartender so we can fire them.
They will be fired.
Yeah, we'll fire them.
No, he was really nice because...
It's too late.
Because NBA Jam took my quarter and he replaced it. So he was very good that way. But
he didn't point out the giant change machine in the room.
Maybe he did. I can't remember.
We're going to fire him. It's a him. It's easy.
It's definitely a him.
It's everyone that we have.
What does it take to work here? What are the qualities one looks for?
Yeah. There's no. We are not getting Me Too, Johnny.
Too late. This is being played for Keisha Lance Bottoms, and she's gonna. That's our mayor. How is that? Yeah. That's our fucking mayor.
Mayor Bottoms. It's Atlanta. Yeah. Mayor Bottoms is very. Bottoms, yeah, you have no idea. Mayor. We'll take you to Blake's one day, and maybe bring your sons. I don't know. Who do you have to be to work here? We hire on personality because we want skills behind the bar are very teachable. If I was able to learn them, anyone can. But what you can't necessarily teach is being welcoming and open and just friendly to people. And preferably they're the adult in the room because our games bring everyone back to when they're kids. So there are drunk idiots who will act like children and they need to be parented sometimes.
Right. Is that a problem with any bar? Do you have security on the weekends?
We do. Yeah, we do. And there we also make sure that
is
they
it a
are,
large black fellow?
We are incredibly diverse in the people that we hire. And we have large black fellows, large white fellows, large yellow fellows, and on occasion the lady fellows. So it just depends. I think to jump on what Brandon was saying, we like having people who work here who just like people, who like everyone. If they feel like they're a part of their own tribe too much, then that's not going to work for us because we just have too many people come in. But they also have to enjoy cocktails. And being sort of the host of the party, we view it as a party that's taking place every night, and someone's got to host it.
Right. The night that I came, I had no idea what the setup was for Nerd Atlanta. I'm pointing. It's in that room, right?
Yes.
And it started out, and it was like, okay. But then before I knew it, the room was filled, and there's only like 20 people. But a good room. So I used to do stand up years ago, and I forgot that a small room that's full is really good and really fun.
Yeah.
Like I want to do shows here. That's one of the reasons I want to talk to you guys. Yeah. I had a phenomenal time at that show.
They've been doing a great job. And Christopher Bowles, who you met that night in particular, they run 8-Bit Comedy here two nights out of the month. They got written up by Rolling Stone because of it.
It's, really?
Yeah. I mean, it was their online version of Rolling Stone, not the print version.
It's okay. It counts.
But we get people who know their crowd and are really good at putting out what they love. And I think that just brings in people.
All right. So can I go ahead?
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, that Chris Bowles and Joe Pettis, who run 8-Bit, and Chris also does Love Nerds and Nerdlanta. Really good at that. Dr. Bradley Goodnight runs Atlanta Drunks and Dragons, which is our D&D nights on Mondays.
And are they all packed in there? Like, do they all get their little...
So the D&D nights take up most of the parlor where we're sitting right now. They carry over to across the street at Georgia Beer Garden. They take over the back room. They brought in an amazing crowd of people who want to go out and be social and also play Dungeons and Dragons. So we like finding people like that. The people who do our ghoul-esque or little burlesque, kind of nerdy, geeky, spooky burlesque.
Spooky.
They're really good. Yeah, I know. Girl, you don't even know.
All right. Well, I have this. Yeah. So listen, I'm gonna run something by you, okay? Because I had this idea last night. I couldn't sleep, and something is very close to my heart, especially because I used to travel a lot. I still travel a lot, and you know the one thing that's on television pretty much at any hour late at night, like
infomercials.
No, better.
Oh.
Law and Order.
Yes.
So I'm a big Law and Order guy, right? Mm-hmm. There's 20 years of it, not even counting like all the spinoffs, right? What do you think? Do you think we could do like, I was going to approach Chris and say, we could do Nerdlanta Law and Order Edition. You think there's enough people out there in the world
who have seen Law and Order? I'm pretty sure.
Who would be up for Law and Order themed trivia?
Yes. I mean,
there are people into anything, I feel like. So yeah, why not?
Right?
Why
because there's it? there's like
Law and Order
who's
cosplay.
Your who's your favorite cop pairing? Who's your favorite lawyer pairing? Do you like this season? Like, I like these two lawyers, but that when they had these two cops, they sucked.
You could do
versa.
The sound content.
Well, we would totally, you know, have some sort of audio visual thing happening. But anyway, I had this thought last night, and I think I'd like to. I think I'm going to approach Chris about producing Nerdlanta Law and Order Edition.
We are never against trying anything once.
Okay,
that is how we got our boyfriends, I think. So.
All right.
Sometimes you have to try it twice.
Okay, so we're doing great on time, by the way. So, you know, because, again, to me, we were talking about Atlanta and trends. I mean, this whole, like I said, if you looked into that coffee shop, right, it was very, like, take a picture. This is 2018, hipster land, guys and girls, right? And this is what Atlanta looks like, right? And you say, oh, like, what do you, you know, you ask the guy, what's he putting in? Like, oh, another mixed use, blah, blah, blah. Great, because, like, that's what we need more of, right? So it's like, I wonder how long this will last. In 10 years, in 20 years, we'll be like, will people be like, the burbs were better, or I don't like in town anymore, or, you know what I'm saying? Because it's a very happening thing to be in town now.
Well, yeah. Well, I think the, and this is me philosophizing, that the Great Recession really took a toll on the suburbs, and I think people realize that, oh, if things go to shit again, that the suburbs are not really the place to be, and so there's a lot of influx in town. I will say, though, however, you're at the coffee shop up the street, and you were talking about taking a photo, and this is kind of millennial hipster Atlanta. And that's true. That coffee shop absolutely is hipster millennial Atlanta. But the great thing about being on Edgewood is that Edgewood is not just those people.
Right.
Edgewood is, we argue, the most diverse street in Atlanta right now. Certainly for nightlife, but I think just overall.
No, I would say, that's actually what stood out to me. So I was telling him I moved back to Atlanta in 08 after being gone for 10 years. A lot happened in 10 years. The whole rap thing happened. But when I hadn't been on this street the first few years. And when I started riding for Lyft and Uber and I was on this street, that was what I noticed. I was like, this is definitely, because growing up, when I grew up, white people were in the suburbs and black people were in the city, and never the twain shall meet. We didn't even have fucking brown people.
There weren't Indian. You're welcome.
There weren't Mexican people. There were nothing. So when I was on the street and I saw everybody, I was like, wow, like that's definitely a thing.
And it's happening all over the world, right? It's not just Atlanta. But it is interesting when you look at the statistics that the city is putting out. You know, Tim Keen was brought in. That's probably the one thing that Kasim Reed that was good was bring Tim Keen in for planning. And, you know, at public addresses where he's talking, metro area is almost 6 million, right? But the city limits of Atlanta is only 450,000. The city limits of Atlanta, between now and 2050, the population is supposed to increase about 1.2 million. So I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. It is the trend worldwide.
Right.
And those trends are usually 20, 30 years long. So it's going to happen for a bit.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be, you know, and as I said, like you guys definitely, like, and bars in general, right? Like bar areas, right? Even, so let's take Buckhead, right? Mainstay forever.
Boo.
Well, of course, boo. But I'm saying, like, even there, which you're busy, bars open and close all the time. I haven't paid attention as much here, but I don't know how much, like, I know you and Mother and Church have kind of been sort of the mainstays. Have there been a bunch of other closings?
Noni's. Noni's has been around super long, since before 10 years. They just had their anniversary. And I don't know if Corner Tavern's been on for almost as long. Cafe Circa. I don't know that anything is closed on Edgewood. But I think the places that are, the department store closed on Edgewood, but they closed for other reasons. I think what's different about about Edgewood compared to other places in the city, places like Buckhead, for instance, is that every single one of these businesses, if you go in during the day, chances are you can find the person who owns that place, or they're a phone call away. This is not some big corporate structure that's been brought in. It's not even a local chain of some sort where they have multiple people who are running things across the city and across North Georgia. So most of these things have sort of organically grown up. In many ways, this is the street that kind of social media built, right?
Do you have meetings?
Wait, what kind of meetings? Because we do. We have a lot of meetings, but
But you're not allowed to know about half of them.
Like sexual meetings?
Like
we do those.
Edgewood, like you sit down with what's-his-name, Sister Louisa, and you guys go, hey, look, this is what's happening on our street. Let's fight the man on parking bullshit.
Oh, absolutely. This is, when we moved in, it was like moving into a dorm. You know, everybody was welcoming. Everybody wanted to know what's going on. Here's what can we do to help? There was nobody on this street from one end to another that seemed upset that there was another bar opening. It was like the more the merrier. And I think that is still continues to be the sort of the guiding feeling or the principle for this street. People are happy about it. So we do have meetings. Yeah.
Interesting. You mentioned Corner Tavern. So I know Mike.
Mike Rapp, yeah.
Because I used to be in Little Five, and that's the other part. And that place is kind of like, I don't know, it doesn't quite fit the rest of this place. You know what I mean? I feel like they're always going to get the spillover from church.
I think they've got their own, they're kind of that classic tavern, a little bit rock and roll, pool hall kind of vibe thing going on. They've got their own thing happening. And it's honestly not something you really see as much of anymore. Outside of Corner Tavern,
that's what I'm saying. It's very like it's interesting. I was there. I went to the Little Five one, and I remember when that one was the fuck was it? Nine something? Do you remember Little Five?
Yeah.
It was called Nine something.
Vaguely. Yeah.
Nine of Tails, Cat Nine Lives, maybe. Cat's pajamas, Cat's pajamas, something.
Something.
Nine. What was that?
Seven of nine. Now, yeah. You will be interested in this.
Yeah?
The most famous person that I hooked up with was on Star
was
Trek.
Jerry Next. Ryan? Oh.
Was not Jerry Ryan. It was, what's her name?
If you say Kate Mulgrew, I'll punch you in the face. That's so hot.
Who's Kate Mulgrew?
Captain Janeway. Right.
I think I would know if I slept with the captain. No.
Was she the empath?
She was...
What's her name?
From Next Gen.
What was the casino? What was the casino called?
Deep Space Nine. Right. That was Deep Space. It was.
In that series with Seven of Nine in Voyager. Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I'm asking you.
I'm not a.
Yeah.
Is there a casino?
Should always get the names of the people you hook up with, just so we all know these things. If for future reference, I don't know if you're still hooking up with people.
No, I'm married a long time.
Okay, no.
Married
okay,
a long time.
Good.
Well, then hopefully you know her name at least.
My wife's name is Stacy. Come on, dude. Help me out.
Don't make me Google her,
and then I'm going to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to say her real name.
Whoopi Goldberg. Yeah, that's the MP. That was Diana Troy. Right? Yeah. Diana Troy. I don't remember which casino, and I don't remember what series that was in.
Hang on one second.
I think we very clearly established on the Star Trek Star Wars divide that I was more Star Wars. So I think this is definitely a Brandon question.
God, these lights are so hot all of a sudden. Can we get the AC on?
Well, don't say her name out loud just because I feel bad because she's a real person that exists.
Yeah.
Even though she's never going to listen to this podcast.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
Well done, sir.
Except that, I think I'm sure she's making a fine living now as on the con circuit, right? Because cons are fucking everywhere, right?
Yeah, that's, you get in
Bajurian
one TV
Dabo
show?
Girl Lita on Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Oh, Deep Space Nine, nice. Okay.
So different. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I randomly thought of that. Sorry.
But, that was a real long flashback for you to have there.
Well, that show was already over, and I think that's the most famous she's ever been, right? This is like, this must have been 02 or 03.
So you caught her when she was spiraling down?
I caught her when she was spiraling downward, yeah. And and we dated for a few weeks, and then but people always ask that, right?
Okay,
people
wait, so
like, who's the most famous person you hooked up with, right? People always want to know that, and that's my most famous one.
So this is more than just a hookup, because you dated as well.
Well, whatever. It was more than a one-night stand, but, like, not much. Like, two or three dates, maybe. Maybe the whole right. thing lasted 2 or 3 weeks. Who's the most famous person you've slept with?
Newt Gingrich.
You did not sleep with Newt Gingrich.
I mean, you know, technically the same room, I guess, but... You didn't mean sexually, though. I did not mean that sexually.
Did you or did you not?
I used to work for Newt Gingrich years ago, so I did not have sex with him, but I have slept in the same room as him.
Okay.
So I technically have slept
Got it.
With him.
Got it. And you, sir?
This should Harvey be a question. Weinstein.
Shut up.
That's your uncle.
So I don't know who the most... I guess probably whoever the biggest slut in Atlanta is
right.
probably the
or even made out with. Famous. How about that? Even made out with.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't run in famous people's circles.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel a little yeah. bad about myself now.
You know what? Get back to us in a week. Let us work on this. Yeah. I don't know.
Are either one of you in a relationship?
Yes, we are both in relationships with other people.
And a serious clear. Relationship.
Yeah, I have been in a relationship for 7 years now.
And you?
I'm going on 5.
I would assume it might be somewhat difficult being the environment that you're in.
Oh, you mean having young, drunk people come in and be like, oh my God, you're on a bar? That's so cool.
Right, exactly.
Like that?
Young, lubed up people. Yeah.
There's nothing difficult about young lubed up people at all.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like it would be a tempting situation.
Let's just say we go home early, just to be sure.
Right.
We're here during the day, typically.
Right. Me. So that's I'm the same way. Like I can't.
Any good hookups, we just hand over to Josh.
Who's Josh?
Our general manager.
Is that the guy?
Him,
is that him?
I'll let him take care of those yeah. folks.
Here's my glasses. Josh, how's it going for you? Do you get a lot of hookups?
The line on Friday and Saturday night isn't to come into Joystick. It's to meet Josh.
It's to make Josh. What's Josh's role?
Josh's general manager / grand poobah of this place. He runs this.
So you run this shit. Okay.
Plus, both of our boyfriends are very violent people, so we would never survive that.
Yeah, I'm not ashamed to tell you that I am terrified of my boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah, mine definitely will beat people.
Do either one of you want to have or adopt children?
I personally at this moment am not looking for kids.
Okay.
I hope to adopt within 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you in the process of?
No. I think we want to make sure we've got everything else settled when it comes to just home life and. You know, things have really...
Homo life?
The homo life. And I like kids, you know? And try as I might, I can't seem to get my boyfriend to actually get pregnant. So I would like to adopt a kid. I would be okay with that.
Okay.
In fact, I've always wanted to adopt kids ever since I was little. I've always wanted to have like the United Colors of Benetton type family.
Were you out as a young person or not?
No,
out?
I was a conservative right-wing Republican.
You worked for Newt Gingrich.
Teenage Republican of the Year in 1988 and spoke at the National Convention. Thank you.
Were you, did you hate yourself?
No. I've never hated myself.
Overconfidence is definitely one of his problems.
I was, because the Republican Party wasn't even, there weren't enough gays for them to be anti-gay in 88. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like gay marriage wasn't even something you debated. It just, and there are a lot of closeted homosexuals in the Republican Party.
I believe we're aware of that.
I was a member of the College Republicans at University of Georgia, and I'm not going to name names, but there was a lot of closeted Republicans.
You went to the University of Georgia?
Yeah.
We probably passed.
I passed for a while.
I did not go to the University of Georgia, but all my friends did.
Yeah.
So between the years, so I graduated in 90. So between, let's say, 88 and 97, right? Yeah.
Those are the 4 years I was there.
Right. We probably saw each other at Nickel Night at Lowry's.
Probably, yeah, right.
Remember that?
Oh, yes. That was a good, that was, someone needs to bring back Nickel Night just anywhere. That
right?
would be awesome.
Let's do it here.
Yeah. But we also need to make money because Josh is expensive.
You should do Nickel Night though, just one time. Call it UGA Retro whatever.
Nickel Night, right? We just have to find a.
What did you? By the way, did you hear my Law and Order trivia idea or Law and Order themed nerd night? What do you
dun,
think?
Dun.
You That's guys did Josh's not, way of saying no.
You guys did not jump on it the way I thought you would. Why do you think it's shown all over the world? I'm telling you, I've been to China, I've been to Lebanon, I've been to Iceland, every fucking hotel, one in the morning, fucking Law and Order is on.
All right.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
We have had a lot worse events here, so right.
Let's. Can we name? Can
please.
We name like the top maybe five worst events? That would be good.
I do like this game.
Top worst events. Any Halloween party we've ever thrown.
Ooh, yeah. I will say. This St. Patrick's Day party we tried to throw in like 2013-14-ish. That no one showed up to.
Because there's too many other places that would focus on that.
Yeah, we learned a long time ago to stop doing things on legit holidays and to make up our own holidays.
Right.
Wookiee Life Day was incredibly popular. Yeah. Any end of the world, Mayan end of the world, Ragnarok, all very popular. Right. But, you know, we're not... people are coming out for Halloween anyway. We don't need to do anything. The amount of times we tried to do a costume contest and then just like kind of lost it because there's just a giant crowd of people who weren't paying attention was
you're like, hey, okay,
yeah,
like,
all right, everybody, okay,
right,
yeah, and it was really terrible.
Christmas in July was not a particularly effective event that we had.
You know why? Because people, you don't want to put on heavy things, sweaters and beards for Christmas.
We thought they'd all dress like, you know, like sexy claws and slutty reindeers.
Right?
And
that's for Halloween.
Yeah, but it could have been Christmas in July. It should have been beach Christmas, I think. But, you know, it's okay. We, for the most part, I think Brandon's right. Anytime we've done something that's officially an event, Halloween, St. Patrick's Day, New Year's, that never works for us the way we want.
I've got an idea. Tell me, has anyone approached
Law and Order Day?
Well, trust me. This now we're definitely fucking doing this. Just so I can prove you wrong, we're definitely doing this Law and Order thing. But what if we did this thing where when the trolley comes by, like you decorate it? Like who could paint the trolley the best?
You mean as it's moving, who could decorate it the best and quickest?
Well, it stops at this stop right here,
okay.
Right?
Right.
Mm. It's tag time.
Right.
Right. Exactly. And it's and we start a timer as soon as it comes around.
There's right.
The point at which, and then whoever gets the most tags on it, then you get like a free couple of shots and a beer or something. Yeah, I like
right.
it.
Yeah. I'm most interested to see who will be the person distracting the driver, and how do you get the driver to like turn around on the other side by like setting off fireworks and just stripping naked or whatever it is.
Now, look, can we talk about the trolley for a moment?
Yeah.
What do you affectionately call it?
yeah, we
so I remember when they launched it, okay?
Yeah. We were on that very first ride, actually.
Yeah. And I thought we're a city that's bad at public transport, right?
That's putting it nicely.
Okay. This is the solution to nothing, right?
Sure.
So then it opens. Guess what? Nobody's on it. Right?
Yeah.
There were millions, I'm guessing, with an S that went into that thing, right?
Oh, yeah. That thing was very expensive. We got federal funding for it and everything.
Right. What are your thoughts on it? Have they approached you on it? Do they ask for your input?
So we opened Joystick as they were still constructing the streetcar. And one of the reasons we chose Edgewood, there's a couple reasons we chose Edgewood, but one of them was we saw the streetcar construction and we saw the city paying attention to the street. They were putting in nicer sidewalks. We did not realize we would not get those nicer sidewalks, that those nice sidewalks would stop at Jackson where the streetcar turns. But we thought, oh, look, new sidewalks, new infrastructure. Clearly, they're probably going to have a lot of police and security around this thing.
Sure.
Because they're investing millions upon millions of dollars in there. We were a little wrong about a lot of that. But so we were interested in the streetcar. We were one of the streetcar's little success stories in that our business was attracted here because of it. That said, we see it every day and we see how frankly empty it is because I don't even know how people know that the streetcar is there. And the only use for the streetcar is going from the CNN Center and the aquarium and all that tourist trap stuff to the one non-tourist trap amazing tourist thing we have in the city,
MLK.
Which is MLK. It's not useful. I live in Castleberry, work on Edgewood. It is faster for me to walk than it is to walk up to Woodruff, wait for the streetcar, get on the streetcar, sit in traffic to get to Edgewood. I could just walk faster, so I do. There's very little residential, there's no real residential backbone in downtown. Hopefully that's changing. We're right. advocating for that to change. But it is just kind of a tourist mover, but I don't know.
But even the tourists don't get on it.
Yeah.
Because it's easier for them to hail a fucking Uber.
Yeah.
Which, now, Uber didn't exist, I guess, when they launched it. But this is what I remember, because I used to go to some of these meeting type things when I was in the Little Five business thing. They were like, oh, it's scary to cross the freeway. This is going to make that go away, right? The freeway's right there.
Right.
Under bridges. No one wants to walk that. All the tourists are now going to hop on that thing, and it's much...
I do think we've seen more people using it. I think we're getting more people specifically during the day over at Beer Garden. And honestly, I don't need my public transit to make a profit. You know, I don't think that's what public transit is for. I feel like they need to expand it. I think if you take that streetcar and you expand it to the Beltline, I think you'll find more people using
it. Well, that's what that's what they're saying now. They also said, because I recently interviewed a guy from MARTA, and they said, like, oh, we learned that if it goes the same direction as the traffic's already going, nobody wants to get on it. I'm like, and you needed to build it to figure that right. fucking out?
Right. Or the fact that it's in traffic. Because right now, it's basically a bus that can't change lanes. You know, and so you can't, and that's a problem.
Do you want to get on a bus that can't change lanes and is with the flow of traffic?
Right.
Then the MARTA streetcar is for you.
It is definitely a problem. But there's certainly times of the day, it's more in the evening and more in the middle of the day, where we see a few people. You know, we don't get a ton of people. You mentioned Dragon Con, and do we get people
right.
for that? That's probably the one time we do see people use the streetcar to come down.
So back to Dragon Con, it's coming up. So you guys are like, you're running, you're like doing panels and shit. Do you get to like walk around and enjoy it?
Oh, yeah, no. Any opportunity to drink, we go through and take full advantage of, especially at Dragon Con.
Even during the day?
You saw what we did before
especially
we started.
During the day. Could I tag along with you guys some then? Because like I said, I went down and I was very much, I couldn't quite navigate the landscape because I'm very new.
So long as you plan on drinking with us, then yeah.
But that's the thing. I'm not really a drinker.
I was going to say, if you could keep up with us, absolutely.
I can't keep up with you drinking, but just think of me as a... think of me as that kid. Remember that kid? Remember the kid in some Almost Famous? Think of me like him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was so cute.
Right. So think of me like that. I'll just kind of like be wide-eyed and like... Watch
right, yeah. Can we get a permission slip from, is it Stacy? Can we get Stacy, if we could get a permission slip from you?
And you just show me this crazy, the world.
We've both been going for years and if not decades. So yeah, I think that'd be a lot of fun. I love newbies. Yeah, I'd take you around.
Let's pop that thing. But in our own way. Yeah.
Right, in a non-sexual, non-alcoholic way.
I mean, man. Maybe, yeah.
No.
Maybe what you said, but without the words "non."
But what I'm saying, you guys can do whatever you want. I'm just going to be the casual observer. That's the thing. And whatever you want off the record is off the record.
That's okay.
I'm good like that.
Yeah.
Like,
off the record is good, then yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a good. All right. Are you ready to take the very exciting Atlanta Favorites quiz?
Ooh. Okay. Yeah. I've not had a quiz in a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
It starts with this. Are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
What is your go-to meal at the Waffle House?
My go-to meal at the Waffle House is the pecan waffle with as much syrup as I could possibly pour on it.
Omelet, scattered, smothered, and covered, but steamed, not fried.
What a fucking...
Wow, they do that?
I think they're better. You get just more potatoes.
Steamed is the healthy way to do it.
Yeah. I didn't even know that was an option.
Scattered, smothered, and covered.
I've only ever been there 2 a.m, so I'm generally not thinking about my calories.
That's exactly the point, but I also have had them steamed. Okay, what is your favorite restaurant in Atlanta?
Ooh, okay. Georgia Beer Garden, 420 Edgewood. No,
you can't name your own establishment.
No, of course not. Boca Lupo, an Optimist, I will say.
Okay.
My two favorite.
You, sir.
I would have said Boca Lupo as well, and Poor Hendricks.
Where's that?
In Kirkwood. It is literally the last restaurant in Atlanta.
Heading
east.
In Kirkwood.
It's on 2nd Avenue in Hosea, and it's the last restaurant you can get to heading east. But I think they've done a good job. I couldn't tell you the name of the chef, and I just went to blank on it, but he's been nominated for James Beard Awards when it comes to baking. It's as close as Atlanta gets to what tapas are supposed to be without calling them tapas, as far as reasonably priced, different, interesting, engaging, and things that you can share with people.
Okay, this is good. This is new. I like to learn new things. What is your favorite festival in Atlanta?
Jesus Christ, there's so many. I guess Pride would be my... Well, no, Dragon Con. Dragon Con is my favorite festival, if you can call it a festival. If not, I'd go with Pride. But damn, there are a lot to choose from.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to... mine would also be Dragon Con, so I'm going to take that out. I'm going to say the Decatur Beer Festival. There's no better way to get your frottage on.
Okay. Rank these in importance to you.
Okay.
1 through 4. Are you ready?
All right, let's see if I can remember all this. Yeah, I know.
Falcons, Hawks, Braves, United.
Okay, importance to me, going from top down?
Yes.
All right, most important, United, then Falcons, then Hawks, then Braves.
You, sir.
I'm going to change it ever so slightly because otherwise it would be the exact same thing. United first, then Falcons, and then Braves, and then Hawks. Although okay. The last two, it's a toss-up.
Right.
They left us.
Right, yeah. That's how most people feel.
I think it's fair to, there was a time where I think the Braves organization was committed to being a part of the community. Right, I had some incredible experiences with the Braves organization that had nothing to do with baseball and what's happening on the field. I will always appreciate that. But they decided to go for a money grab, right?
Cocksuckers.
And I get it. Everyone wants to make money, but at the same time, you can't be our hometown team when you just moved out of the hometown. Yeah,
that's how many of us feel. That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah. And I will say this: I went to their pro gay event for the Braves.
Right.
And it was interesting because at the event up beforehand, super gay, and then at the actual stadium, it's like we weren't even there. We weren't even mentioned. Nothing. We were seated in a place where we couldn't show up on the kiss cam. Because you can't show gay people kissing.
Not a chance.
The only acknowledgement was that the organ guy occasionally played Macho Man, which I appreciate, but there was no acknowledgement because they didn't.
So what was when you said the
fan.
Before? What was the before?
There was like a party ahead of time, and it was big. There was a ton of people. They had a DJ. It was super gay. It was great. It was a nice event. Well done, and I'm glad they did it. But I don't think we should be acknowledged in the shadows. I think we should get recognition for the fact that you have gay fans. At the actual stadium, you look at United, and you got Michael Parkhurst out there wearing a gay flag on his armband as the
well.
Captain
the fucking
of the, team.
The Europeans are all gay, so soccer's a very European sport.
Thank God for that.
Baseball and football and basketball, you are not going to see anybody gay. Like you're not. I mean, it's been we had the one basketball player who like just retired and then they brought him back for a season. I don't even know his name. And then there was the guy for the Rams, but again, he didn't even play. Like we're a ways away from the very macho sports world becoming
And those, by the way, are the biggest bottoms of them all.
It's true. I think we've entered a point where if you are anti-gay on some level politically, or if you're a sports star, anyone in the public eye, yeah, then you probably like a little D on the side, it happens. It's a real thing. Just look at some of the people who are running for office now.
Well, I have to say, I was quite saddened, although I should never be surprised anymore on the social media. I was quite saddened. I'm not sure if you saw it, but I think it was on that Braves night, in the comment section, right?
The comment section.
Crazy Christians came out against it. You tell me what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It was a lot of, but they won't let us have Jesus night.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of that.
Yeah. Well,
and I was like so fucking disturbed. And again, like I've been in the South most of my life. I shouldn't be, but it was like, ugh.
It is amazing.
They don't need to tell us all their shit.
Yeah. They feel very persecuted right now, and I'm not going to try and take away from their feelings. They feel it's legit.
I think they're
completely wrong.
The Jesus freaks feel persecuted? Or the straights?
The Jesus freak straights.
Okay.
But there's closeted
Jesus freaks. Closeted.
Yeah, but the closeted Jesus freaks are, in fact, being persecuted against by their own people. It's amazing to hear people who are otherwise... rational, good human beings say that straight white men are the most persecuted demographic in this country, because it's factually, it's just not true. Right.
but I don't like hating on them.
Right.
Because I feel like there's an entire generation of people who have been lost to Fox News propaganda. There are people who listen to it all day long, and if you listen to anything all day long, you're going to start believing it seeps in.
Right.
And for me, I think as a former Republican, I think the entire Republican Party is to blame. They allowed it to get to this point. You know, they won election after election off of fear of gay people, fear of marijuana, fear of illegals, fear of all these things, and now they're shocked that their base is scared of everything. Well, that's on them. And at some point, the Republicans who believe in free markets and believe in this country and not letting foreign powers step in, they got to step up and go through and say, this is not okay. We're going to try to right the wrong. But I don't think they can do that.
Yeah. And straight white Christian people they're feeling really persecuted right now because they are starting to hit it's the word I'm looking for. I don't know, but they're having a wall. Oh yeah, they're hitting a wall, exactly, a big beautiful wall. They're not getting everything they want anymore, I guess, is what it is. And they're seeing changing demographics. They're terrified, and that's legit. But there needs to be someone who can come together and say, hey, poor white people and poor black people have a whole lot more in common, and y'all need to kind of figure that out.
Yeah, and the Republican Party used to be a party that said, these are new people coming in here. They're building businesses. They're employing people. We are a nation of immigrants. We used to not be afraid of those things. And now most people in positions of leadership, they're just quiet, which is the worst thing. I mean, either join in on Trump's side and be honest about what you think, or tell people what you really think, because that's what's changing the party and why you end up getting people who feel the need to comment on a gay night at the Braves. I mean, really? You think if you bring your small child to a Braves game and there happens to be a lesbian sitting two rows in front of you, that that's somehow going to convert your son to a homosexual? I don't think so, you know? If he's watching RuPaul, maybe. But, you know, but that's on him.
Yeah, so...
Okay.
I'm going to...
All right.
Push our buttons.
Yeah.
Clearly. Clearly push the buttons. Okay, where were we? So we went to our favorite... okay, this is interesting, considering the conversation we kind of already had. Okay, complete this sentence.
Okay.
I take Marta blank.
Occasionally, because I happen to live near Garnett Station, and the occasion is when I'm too lazy to walk to Edgewood... Or if I'm going to Decatur, because Decatur has the most useful MARTA stop.
I take MARTA every so often. And I'd love to take it more. It just needs to go to more places where I'd want to go. And there's probably some small changes they can make. Decatur's got a great stop obviously. There are a couple of
the West End has a great stop. I live in the West End. You get off the West End station, you can hit the West End Mall. You can come to my house. It's happening over there.
Yeah, that's which makes
Monday Night Garage. Do you know those guys?
Yeah, no, the Monday Night guys are awesome. They did a drag photo shoot with us when we opened up Beer Garden. So we will always appreciate them.
They're doing a whole. You know, we're getting all these breweries over there now. Again, we're going to see if that works, right?
We are big supporters of the local brewing industry throughout the state. So the other bar we have that we keep shamelessly plugging, Georgia Beer Garden. When it comes to it's a full bar, and you know, and we have food. But when it comes
to beer...
Is
the food good?
The food is good. We do not own a freezer. Everything
What time does the food open?
11 a.m. 11 a.m., nothing frozen, all fresh from the farmer's market.
What could I order at 11? What would you offer me this morning to say, this is delicious, tasty wares?
Ooh, I think it depends. I'm a big fan of our spicy chicken salad, I will have to say. And I don't mind pushing that. Our specials are always really good. I think our cauliflower wings are really
good. I think I'm going to leave here and order a spicy chicken salad.
Well, I think you will enjoy it then. And when it comes to beer, we only serve beer that's brewed in the state of Georgia. 130 some odd beers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Complete this sentence. No. Do you shower every morning or every evening?
I shower most mornings, but I'm a morning showerer.
You, sir.
I shower in the morning except during summer in the evening. It's too humid during the day to shower in the morning.
Okay. The final question in the quiz is, who should I have next on the Atlanta podcast?
Ooh. Well, no one could possibly be more interesting than us, so I think you could basically shut it down.
Right?
Yeah. You're done.
Just close it up.
Congratulations on your final podcast. We think it was amazing. Y'all should all make sure. I would say that you should. I think Grant Henry's always good.
I have Grant. I talked to Grant.
Okay, well, then not Grant.
But that's good, though. It makes me feel good when someone picks somebody that I got. He was great.
Tim Keane, who's with the city, I would say he would be great. I would also say maybe someone like Matt Rupert, who has owned No Knees for now 10 years.
Okay.
I think Matt Rupert would be good. And I think Reverend Bessie over at Big Bethel, I think she's really in tune with what's happening on a different level in the city. So I think she would also be good.
Okay. Do you have some choices, young man?
I think I like the Tim Keane one. I think somebody who's seeing Atlanta on a macro level would be really interesting, really good. I will say, I'm going to add to that, Jennifer Ball, who works with Central Atlanta Progress. She's been there for, I don't even know, let's just say 45 years, even though she's only 38. I think she has a sense of the city and what's happening specifically in the downtown area. That'd be really interesting.
I want to add two more people. I think Daniel Handley, who is with the DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America here locally, their membership has just spiked since Trump got elected, and it's interesting to see what they're doing in the city. And then I think that I had someone else for you besides Daniel, but I think people who are seeing what's happening on the ground like that would be really good.
Now, if I go to one of these socialist meetings and my name gets on a list, will I eventually be put in jail and or killed?
Yes.
Yeah, and we're not protecting anybody.
I'm very afraid of the word.
As soon as they come asking for that list, who shows up here for the monthly DSA meetings? We have no interest in fighting the powers that be.
And I'll give you one more person. Marshall Ransifer is very involved in supporting people who are experiencing homelessness around the city. And he himself was homeless. And he does an amazing job of getting actual physical materials out. Like, there's not a lot of overhead. He gets things that people need, and I think he sees the city from a totally different angle that you might find interesting.
All right. Well, I think this was a great first chat. I feel like we're going to become buddies.
So we'll see you for Law and Order night.
We'll see
right?
you for Law and Order night and Dragon Con.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
We are going to hang out in Dragon Con.
Are you going to dress up for Dragon Con?
Who would you dress up as?
Yeah. That's a really good question.
Top three choices.
Could I be one of the lawyers from Law and Order as one of my...
Only if it's Richard Belzer.
Could I be... I love the Bells. The Bells is the fucking man. Who would I dress up as? You know what I was... What did I think the other day that I thought that would be good? That would be fun to dress up as? You know what I just saw? Have you guys seen Black Nerd yet over at the...
Yes, we just saw that. We were there for their... they did a lobby con. They had a little kind of mini Dragon Con before the show. It was really cute. They made little passes and everything. But that show was awesome. Yeah. That was a really good show.
Yeah, it was really good. I
loved it.
We think it perfectly captured that experience of also... You know, I think he represents, he's a good example of the people that we get, right? People who are really a part of multiple cultures, but maybe not fully in one of them. And then that mix of them is what we get. And I think that's why we're still open, hopefully, that an Edgewood being busy
on Saturday nights. You brought it all the way back.
By the time y'all are listening to this, we're still open.
Wouldn't that be great if I forgot to air this and then they closed? Well, we sure did love Joystick. Yeah. All right. We're going to end on that note. All right. Good job,
bye.
Guys.
All righty. They were fun. We got to know each other very quickly there, didn't we? That was some good times. Come on, guys. Come on out to the September 20th show live at Joystick. You'll be so glad you did. Buy tickets. There's not a lot of seats. Like, seriously. I'm not just saying that. There's just not a lot of room. And also, vote for Best of Atlanta. and it would just mean the world to me. So I know you got a lot of options. You could be listening to who knows what. You could be watching something on the Netflix, but you're taking the time to listen to me in your ear holes. Thank you so much. I have got to run.
Of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.